And welcome to the Fanboy Garage. I'm Chris Lasanti, joined by my co-host, Aaron Varola.
Hey, what's going on, folks? Episode 33 of the Fanboy Garage. No doubt. We're just kind of getting there, man. Before you know it, we'll be hitting our ages as these episodes go on. But yeah, feels good.
Yeah.
How's everyone doing out there? Hope everyone's good. I know you can't answer.
Yeah.
But here we are
on a very cold... Those are the best questions to ask, right? The ones people can't answer?
Of course. Yeah. It's good. The rhetorical questions.
Yeah.
But I hope it's nice and cozy wherever you guys are. We're in the midst of a polar vortex. But not here in New York, actually. It is cold, but it's some weird stuff going on. This is Tuesday, by the way, so hopefully it gets better. And I hope everyone else is nice and safe.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about the weather on the Fanboy Garage, are we?
No, we're not. We're going to start talking about Birds of Prey.
Ooh, yeah.
Which released a teaser and then an image first, I guess, then a teaser.
Yeah, yep. So we posted that on our Instagram. For those of you folks that don't follow us, now might be the time to start doing that. So we posted the first picture from Margot Robbie, who was dolled up as Harley Quinn. Really cool but interesting to see her, you know, back of the makeup and all that. And she kind of looks the same.
Yeah.
From Suicide Squad.
Pretty much.
Right?
Some differences, but yeah.
Yeah, some minor stuff, like maybe a hair change and maybe some light removal of the tattooing, but there was still, you know, still had some of them. And then shortly thereafter, we got a 30-second little teaser or whatever it was.
Yeah,
it's not even a teaser. It's like sort of like a behind the scenes of all the characters.
Is that, yeah, it's, I mean, I said teaser just because it's, I guess that's the closest thing you could say. But yeah, it was really just like a little, like, sizzle clip of the characters. Yeah. And it kind of was cool. It had like a fun vibe to it. It felt a little different.
Mm-hmm. But did it feel different? It kind of reminded me of the Joker thing.
Well... Yeah, I mean, it was different. It was definitely different than the Joker. I mean, the Joker thing was, you know, the vibe to me was different. If you want to say that they were similar and that they were going for kind of a similar concept, but I thought the vibes were completely different. This thing seemed a little more, I don't know. Just
fun?
A little fun. Yeah, fun was the word I was originally going to say, but then I was like, I don't even know if that's the right word. But yeah, it definitely seemed fun. I like that, you know, they're not going overboard with the budget, so hopefully, you know, not every one of these movies needs to have these huge budgets, so this is a perfect movie for that. You know, just let it be its own thing, let it be smaller budget, you know, focus on the characters. They don't have to save the world at the end. You know, which hopefully they're
from
not
like,
do.
From like Poo-Poo Man?
Hello. So, yeah, I don't want that. So, you know, hopefully that's not the direction that they're going in.
Yeah. I am perplexed, to say the least. Like, it's really cool to see it, but, you know me, the continuity king. It's like... It kind of like this whole thing kind of throws me for a loop a bit because like we know this is the Harley Quinn that had, you know, relations with the Joker. And then we've got this, we know that this offshoot 80s Joker film is happening and they're saying there's absolutely no connectivity. And I guess there's no connectivity, but it just feels bizarre that they're moving forward with different pieces in the quote unquote universe, but then not. So,
yeah, I mean, I see, to me, I look at this differently. So I think what they're doing now is kind of very comic booky in a sense where, you know, not everything has to be a shared universe and not everything in comics is a shared universe. You know, true. You have these one shots and offshoots and Elseworld stories and things like that, and that's always been a thing. So I don't know why it shouldn't be in the movies either. Like, I would, if they have a great Joker story to tell that works better standing on its own and doesn't need to be folded into anything, then tell that story rather than a half-hearted, less inspired Joker story that you're going to tell just to fit it into some shared universe.
Right. Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, I get, you know, no, you're 100% right. It's just, it's kind of funny because there's been lots of chatter about this not being a shared universe thing, right? I get it. They kind of want to step out and do something different. But the idea of Birds of Prey is a connected universe, isn't it? Like, it's like, oh yeah, you remember Harley Quinn from that other movie? Well, there are these other characters that we're sort of introducing you to, like Black Canary and the Huntress and all of that. And so it's kind of hypocritical in a way, but that's like stupid stuff. I just hope it's a good movie. It looks. They all look good.
But I don't see why. Like, I think Birds of Prey is going to be part of the universe. I just think the Joker movie isn't. So,
right.
You know, and we don't know. I mean, we don't know how much Birds of Prey connects. If it's how much of a reboot it really is, or maybe it's a reset on some of that. But I think that this Joker thing for now seems to be the only thing that's completely standing on its own. At least that's what we assume.
Totally agree. I just think, you know, a lot of the commentary out there lately has been, you know, again, going back to this shared universe solo film approach. Again, they're comic book characters. Like, it's cool to always see a reference to another character that you know exists in that world. So while, yes, they're focusing on pseudo solo films, you know, there are obviously threads that will connect it to something bigger or have connected it to something bigger. Like, you know, Aquaman has tremendous success and, yes, is technically a solo film, but it still has its connection to Justice League and Steppenwolf and, by and large, Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman and Flash and Cyborg. So, you know, there isn't really anything different happening here that we haven't seen before, really.
Right.
But what did you think of the characters and their costumes and all that stuff for Birds of Prey?
You know, I mean, they kind of fly by, so no pun intended, so fast that I didn't watch it over and over again, so I didn't really get a chance to digest it completely. I saw it, you know, twice, and I saw somebody made a comment that, oh, you know, how long before people are in an uproar over Black Mask not wearing a black mask?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not going to get crazy about that at this point. Who knows? You know, this is, I mean, not even, it's a teaser of a teaser. So, you know, who knows what that character is going to look like and become over time. So I don't care that it's Ewan McGregor just standing there as Ewan McGregor. I just think it's, you know, it's a way to let you know Ewan McGregor's in the movie. So I'm not going to be all up in arms over that right now. Nor am I going to get crazy about the characters in their costumes yet, because, again, who knows what any of that stuff is, you know, end of the day, is ultimately going to wind up looking like.
Yeah.
I just was looking more for the feel and the vibe and whatever, and that I was kind of cool with. So,
yeah.
You know, here's...
We can't even really tell the tone or feel of the movie. It just looked like a fun little snippet where people were, you know, the actors were having fun in costume and, you know, they recorded it and it looks cool, but it's too early to tell. It's way too early to tell.
But it was a smart thing to do though.
You know, it is.
Got
I mean,
people talking about something that's far off and you know, DC has started to do, and Warner Brothers have started to do a really good thing. They've really figured out a really good way to get buzz generated for these movies. Yeah. And they're doing it in a very organic way, and they're doing it by utilizing, I think, the characters themselves and this whole idea that they're going to build movies around the characters and go with the tone that fits the character allows them, I think, to do this. And that's what gets people talking, because none of this stuff looks cookie cutter. And that, you know, so that's why we're talking about it right now. Yeah, you know, if they had released a teaser that looked like every other movie they've ever done, well, then, you know, it's like, okay. But we're talking about this because it's new. It feels fresh. It feels different. It's something that we're not used to seeing. And that's why we're you're getting hype.
Yeah, it's guerrilla marketing.
Yeah,
it's really smart. They're for the first time in a long time controlling the narrative, because they know, you know, people are going to be, the paparazzi are going to be out there kind of stealing the thunder. I mean, just today there were like 3 or 4 different images of Margot Robbie in costume again, and these were done by, you know, some sort of spy shots, but you know, they got ahead of it and they're like, okay, you know, the movie's gonna film and let's just throw something together, get people excited, and it's working. It's doing fabulously. And to your point, I mean, you know, they're coming high off of Aquaman, so they have some momentum to keep. As they kind of head into Shazam, and I'm sure we'll hear more of, you know, sort of new stuff that'll happen after Shazam, and they'll keep that momentum going again, and then you get the Joker film. And so it's, you know, it's really smart. It really is smart. And you know, think about it. I wouldn't be surprised if that after Shazam, you know, that kind of bleeding into the, you know, May, June time period, right? We would get some sort of teaser footage or something from Wonder Woman 84, which is kind of been filming, if not may already be finished. I'm not even sure. But it's a ways off, but that's a great opportunity for them to kind of keep conversation happening around their films.
Yeah, absolutely.
So kudos to DC and Warner Brothers for finally getting something right. Like, that sounds so bad. for finally controlling the narrative.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
Because, well, that is getting right. That is finally getting something
right. Yeah, they're focused. They clearly have a focus now. And I think it's a good one. And they're going all in on it. And that's good. That's good news.
Yeah.
Speaking of them, though, you mentioned something to me about speculation about Green Lantern.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, like, the world is on fire for Tom Cruise. This is, you know, this, I guess, is the part of our show where we get to kind of speculate on who we'd like to see in the Emerald costume. But, you know, I've had lots of conversations with folks on Twitter who have been kind of going crazy for the idea that Tom Cruise would be a great Hal Jordan. Personally, I don't see it. You know, I'm wrong most of the time.
Yeah, I'm not in love with that idea. I mean, are we telling the origin of Hal Jordan? Because he's a little old for that.
Yeah.
But
probably not, right? Do they even need to tell the origin story of Hal Jordan? Wouldn't most people know? And hey, look at what they've been able to do with the awesome de-aging CGI in Aquaman.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even know that a Green Lantern would be based on Hal Jordan at this point.
That's true.
I would almost... So I've always hoped for a Green Lantern movie or a series of movies that was like a Star Wars-style epic. Yep. You know, that started, kind of tells the origin of Hal Jordan, but gets into the whole Green Lantern Corps and the Sinestro thing. And I think there's an amazing story to be told there on the screen. They did a great animated film, Green Lantern First Flight, that kind of tells that story, and it's pretty great. And I'd love to see something of that done in live action. I think the scope of that could be massive, and I think it could be like its own franchise within a franchise, you know, the way like Guardians of the Galaxy became like a franchise within the franchise with the MCU. So I would love that. And I mean, I would want to see the origin of Hal Jordan to start it, because I think that's one of the more interesting storylines, and it also leads to the Sinestro thing. But yeah, I mean, I think you could go crazy with that universe, and it could really become its own universe by itself. Right. You know, because you can get, you can make Green Lantern movies. You could do team ups. You could do the Jon Stewart movie. You could do all this, all different things. And all, I think all of it could be really cool. So I don't really, I don't know that we need to necessarily focus on like who would play Hal Jordan. I would rather focus on like what the approach would be. And to not be so focused on making it just like the Hal Jordan story. Yeah, use that as the basis to kick off like an epic trilogy.
Right.
And that's how I would approach it. So that's the other reason why I don't know that I would be in love with Tom Cruise in that role either, because he tends to choose scenery in his movies and kind of take control of them. So
does lots of running.
Yeah.
And motorcycle riding. No, I agree with you. I think it would be really cool. I mean, they could set it up, you know, Hal Jordan on Earth, maybe 30 minutes into 30 minutes of the movie, and the rest should be like an outer space soap opera.
Yeah.
You know, just to keep that out, you know, outer worldly vibe to it, so that we, you know, your brain doesn't automatically go to, okay, so this guy is kind of discovering his powers and this is happening. Where's Aquaman in this? Where's this person in that? I like the ability to kind of take a character out of his element, out of, you know, his home planet and move him somewhere different. Specifically as they kind of lean in on this solo movie approach, it just, it makes it, it would make it feel a bit more natural. And to your point, it create an opportunity to have its own universe, and be able to build off of that. So, yeah, I don't, you know, it's funny, you know, a whole bunch of people have like listed off folks that they'd love to see in the role. I mean, some folks are in the same boat as me where I'm like, Tom Cruise, absolutely not too old and just not right for the role. But, what's his name? The, graphic designer Boss Logic did like a Zac Efron. Did you see that?
I did.
That was pretty cool.
It is. Although I'm not a big Zac Efron guy. Not super big, no. No.
No, you don't think he can pull it off?
I think he can pull it off in a picture that Boss Logic creates. we'll leave it at that.
Oh man. If okay, let's say somehow they managed to keep Ryan Reynolds intact.
No.
Like they court him again, say, hey, we can still do this.
So
they're
gonna do like the Deadpool thing all over again, bring him back to
to
redo a role that was failed.
Right. Do you think it would work?
No.
Do you think he was about Hal Jordan?
I don't. I not necessarily. I don't think he was bad. I think for what they were going for, he was fine. I just don't know that would be the approach I would take with the character.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really see that happening anyway. But plus, you never know.
Mark Strong was Sinestro, and now he's the villain in Shazam. That doesn't work. You know, you had Cable and Thanos. These things just aren't working.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know why you would, I don't know why you would bring the entire cast back from a failed movie. I don't think you need to do that. I think do your own thing. I think, you know, do your own thing. For every Deadpool, which is a rare thing where they can take a character that was completely mangled in a film and make one, you know, turn it around and bring the actor back, but in something that's very true to the character. I don't know how many times you could pull that off, though.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is the guy who played Arthur Curry's father, what's his name? Tamora Morrison?
Mm-hmm.
Was the guy that played Abin Sur in Green Lantern.
Wow.
Yeah, they just got people repeating. You know, Mark Strong, two DC films for him. Tamora Morrison, two DC films for him. So, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. All right.
Speaking of Aquaman, very briefly, it continues to be a very big success.
It's
at craziness. Least without adjusting for inflation, which as I've said before on the podcast, I am not a big fan of the idea of inflation-adjusted numbers. Leave the numbers where they are, because there mm-hmm. are many factors that go into, looking at those things. I think that I'm not a big fan of doing the adjusted for inflation thing. Right. Because when the only way to watch a movie... sure, more people went to the movies when the only way to watch a movie was in the big screen. Mm-hmm. Now, with so many alternatives, of course, less people are going to go see movies. But so that's why I'm not a big fan of adjusted for inflation. But anyway, Aquaman is the most successful DC or most successful film based on a DC property ever. And good job.
Yeah. It's freaking nuts, man.
Yeah.
It is. It's... It looks like it's about to break into the, what is it, 1,100,000,000 category. So 1.1 billion. That's pretty significant there.
Yep.
Foreign markets obviously are a large contributing factor to its success.
Yeah, I mean it's doing pretty damn well though here as well.
Yeah, it was at that 316.
Yeah, and counting.
Million is still yeah. happening, still within the. Is it in the top five? Top 10 at least? It's doing really well. We continue to wish it success. And because it could only mean for more good DC films. And clearly, Warner Brothers is puffing its chest.
Yeah.
They seem very excited about it. And, I'm sure in the coming weeks we'll hear more about, films, new DC films that'll be rolling out soon. So,
yep.
That's cool.
And just another quick little box office thing. The movie that I gushed about on the Revengers podcast anniversary thing, was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and I think everyone took my advice, because at least in this country, the movie has remained in the top five now. Nice. A couple of weeks in a row. The last 2 weeks, it's only had drops of like 18%, and it's going to do over. It's so far, it's going to be over 170 million domestic. So it's the legs on this thing has been great, and I'm assuming it's because of the word of mouth. And once everybody got done seeing Aquaman. So that's what makes me think that maybe had they released this thing at a different time, maybe it would have been an even an even bigger success.
Totally.
It seems to be picking up steam now after now that Aquaman is quieting down a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, it's who knows what this thing could have been had they released it at a less busy time. But either way, it's good to see that people are starting to discover it.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. I mean, I think about it, and I'm like, where would they have put it? Because, what was it? Venom, right? Released in October, yep. And then shortly thereafter was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and he had the holiday time, and Aquaman kind of eats that up. So they would have, they couldn't have pushed it to the summertime, because that was Infinity War. Time so
well, you did have time though, because I mean, we figured from the time that Infinity War happened, Infinity War was April, and the next movie like that wasn't Ant-Man and the Wasp,
right?
Until what was that, July? So, and there was a lot of wiggle room in between, so they could have, but who knows what their confidence level was on this, and I guess they figured, leave it towards the holidays. Kids are off and there's extended vacations and stuff, and maybe it'll pick up steam. And nobody knew what Aquaman exactly was going to be either.
Sure.
So,
and the creation, the sort of movie making process, the sausage making for the film of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, I'm sure it took some time, to animate. When I saw those 35 minutes of the film back in mid-October, it was a rough cut. There were still bits and pieces of clips that needed to be fully rendered and animated. So it wasn't like a complete, it was definitely not a complete movie then. And that was right after Venom. So there was no way that the film was even going to be you know, in a place. I think they need that extra time.
Right.
For sure. But I'm glad it's continuing to do well. I would love to see it again. I really would.
Yeah.
But time eludes me.
So, speaking of time.
I love your transitions, man.
Yeah, RoboCop. We're going back in time, apparently. Or they're trying to go back in time to revisit RoboCop with Peter Weller.
They're trying to bring the guy back. Yeah.
After the remake didn't set the world on fire.
Or the TV show.
Right.
This is one of those franchises where I'm like, just leave it alone. If it didn't work in your reboot, like Total Recall, that's like trying to bring Total Recall back. Peter Weller is old, is dirt. I mean, I get the whole like there. I mean, there is an interesting story to be told about the aging cyborg. I'm guessing.
Is that I don't know.
I don't know if that's the story, but I'm like, that's the only
thing
that I'm...
You're just making stuff up now.
My mind's just going to go there. You're going to see Peter Weller in the RoboCop costume, and he's going to be like, you know, 3 inches shorter than he used to be because gravity's pulling on his
bones.
Look,
if they could put young Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator... What was the one...
Genesis?
Not the last one, but the one with Christian Bale.
Salvation.
Yeah, there you go. Then they could somehow figure out a way to de-age Peter Weller, just his...
But that was so bad.
Just half, just his face. You don't even have to age his head. You're literally just aging his face.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, there are instances where that technology and the rendering, the CGI rendering of someone's face looks so good, and then there are other instances where it just looks very, very, very bad, very rough. But it's amazing to see how far it's kind of gone.
Right.
You know, I remember, was it Tron Legacy? And that was back in, 2011, maybe? Hold on, I'm going to find this. Jeff Bridges' de-aging looked horrendous.
Yeah.
Like, it looked so bad. And then you fast forward... It was 2010. I'm sorry. Then you fast forward to, let me think, maybe The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. They do some really wonky stuff there, but it looked a little better. And then you get something like, what is it? Civil War, where they de-age Robert Downey Jr.'s face.
Right.
In the opening scene, that looked good. Kurt Russell in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, that looked phenomenal. So it's like it's really cool to see that. I'm sorry, the total side tangent, but the visual effects and de-aging people. So I believe they could probably do it.
So you're
doing really
good
job.
But you're not in on
Peter
RoboCop Weller. Though, right?
What's that?
You don't want to see though, even with that.
I don't want to see it though, even though I think it could work. I just don't want to see it because.
So,
then you end up with like the stupid little things like the aging of somebody's voice. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily sound like the, you know, like Rogue One, for example.
Right.
You hear Vader. Well, Vader sounds like Vader, but he doesn't really sound like Vader.
I haven't, and we've talked about this on the action movie episode, but I have not been a fan of any RoboCop movie since the original. And so I'm not going to necessarily be excited if they do bring this back. I mean, I'll be curious, but I can't say I've been jumping for joy for the return of RoboCop with Peter Weller, because I haven't, like I said, I haven't liked anything RoboCop since the original movie.
Yeah. I don't mind RoboCop 2.
Yeah. Well, we've had this debate. I mean, I detest RoboCop 2. So... and then RoboCop 3 with that other guy, Robert John Burke, and the show and all that stuff. And then that I tried to watch that reboot because Michael Keaton's in it.
Yeah.
And man, that sucked.
And Gary Oldman's in it.
And that was just bad.
It was really, really bad. I don't really like that actor.
Joel Kinnaman, yeah.
Yeah, not really a fan.
No.
It was just bad. Yeah. And then, you know, you kind of go and you think about the way that the first movie was and how graphic and destructive that film was. And you got, like, you know, Toxic Goo Man, stuff like that. And then you end up with some, like, PG-13 version. You're like, what is this crap?
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard to top Toxic Goo Man. I mean, you can't really go.
Stuff of nightmares, bro.
Yeah.
That stuck with me for a long time.
Speaking of the 80s and goo.
Another great transition there.
See that?
I have no idea where you're going with this.
Ghostbusters.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Ghostbusters is, I guess, back again. They just kind of sprung this on people, right?
Out of nowhere, man. It was like EW... Entertainment Weekly was like, hey, Jason Reitman, son of Ivan Reitman, the original director of the first Ghostbusters back in the 80s, exclusive, is working on a new Ghostbusters movie. And everyone's like, what? Okay, that sounds really cool. And then out of nowhere, there's like a minute or a 51 second little teaser of, you know, somebody walking to a barn and you hear the proton pack kind of going off, and the covered Ghostbuster car under a cover, and it kind of blows, and it has the music from the first movie, and it's really cool, and it's like, you know, they're coming back. But then the world went on fire, like, about I guess it's like the social justice warriors about, well, you know, does that mean that we're overlooking the remake, the 2016 remake, or all that stuff. And I'm like, oh God, here we go.
Well, yeah, and I don't know what one thing has to do with the other. You know, that I always thought that remake or whatever it was its own thing.
Right. You well, know, that's what it was meant to be. Yeah. But the marketing was horrendous because it just looked like it tried to erase it, you know, everything that came before it. I mean, that's what it was, right? It was like, oh yeah, you know, it's Ghostbusters, but with women, which is fine. But it, you know, I think the first mistake there was that it tried to ignore its past.
Well, and I never got the impression though that the idea was like, okay, this is the new Ghostbusters franchise, you know, and we're going to forget about everything else. So, I mean, why not? I mean, I again, the first Ghostbusters is really the only Ghostbusters that I really love.
What? You don't like Viggo?
I mean, Ghostbusters 2 was okay.
Little baby Oscar?
And I can't say I was crazy about the remake or whatever that was. But yeah, although the real Ghostbusters cartoon is fantastic. If anyone hasn't seen that, you should. It's really good. But anyway, I don't know. I mean, I'm hearing that they said something about like it's going to be a cross of like Stranger Things and Ghostbusters, and there's going to be kids involved. And I'm like, I have absolutely no feel for what this movie is really going to be. So I'm going to wait and see till we see something. Some footage or something before I start to really put it on my radar.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of hard. It's been a, you know, it's one of those things where it's a super, super cult blockbuster classic film, right? And it's held to the highest level with a lot of people. The first Ghostbusters film. And all those actors. And it was a shame that, you know, I think it had been talked about ad nauseum. And like, you know, they were working on something, but like, you know, they couldn't get the script right enough for Bill Murray. And then 2016 happens and you end up with this other version. And I got to be honest, it had nothing to do with the fact that they were women Ghostbusters. Like, let's just strike that from the record because that is absolutely no bearing. It was a horrendous film. Like, it wasn't funny. It didn't have any of that charm that the first Ghostbusters had, and I wouldn't expect it to, but it just was lackluster. It just didn't feel, you know, it just didn't even feel like it was on its best day ever. So, you know, it was kind of a waste of a brand. So, you know, you've got Jason Reitman kind of stepping in and trying to right the ship. And I think this was something always hinted at, not hinted, but it was something that was leaked, way back when the whole Sony thing happened, that they were working on like a couple of different, Ghostbuster films. Now, I don't know if it had anything to do with Jason Reitman.
Yeah, I remember that.
But I do remember that it was like Channing Tatum and somebody else were like behind the scenes producing. Do you remember any of this?
I don't remember Channing Tatum involved. I do remember the idea of like multiple Ghostbusters movies.
Yeah.
In development. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, let's see how it shakes out. But I'm hopeful because it, you know, it's coming back to, you know, the original, and hopefully he's got a fresh new take on these characters, and he can bring everybody together. So, yeah. So real quick, I know we have a couple of fan questions that we want to get to, but I do want to quickly mention that there was some like breaking news while we were on the podcast, well, as of 2 hours ago, and I just found out that Zack Snyder has his next directing gig up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And what is that?
He will be returning to the world of Dawn of the Dead.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
And he'll be doing, he is signed to direct Army of the Dead for Netflix.
Huh. That's interesting. I, Now, is it, when you say returning to the world of Dawn of the Dead, I mean, is it like a follow-up to Dawn of the Dead, or is it just happens to be like a zombie movie that he's directing?
Remake of Dawn of the Dead. Returning to the world of zombies in his next feature film. Okay. Yeah. Signed to direct Army of the Dead, zombie horror thriller set amid a zombie outbreak in Las Vegas, during which a man assembles a group of mercenaries to take the ultimate gamble, venturing into the quarantine zone to pull off the greatest heist ever attempted. Bum, bum, bum. Huh. Snyder came up with the story, which was scripted by Joby Harold, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. And he did this while, quote unquote, taking a break, stepping away from Justice League.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That was not what I was expecting you to say.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds cool. I like his Dawn of the Dead a lot. I've said it before. I think it's one of the best examples of how to do well by an unnecessary remake.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, put a fresh spin on it, you know. And so, yeah, I think that sounds pretty cool. And I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I think it'll be real good. So
Netflix,
I mean, huh? I also enjoyed the Dawn of the Dead remake. Lots of good stuff happening there. In fact, oh God, I'm going to admit this. My first step into that world was the Dawn of the Dead remake. So much of that, after I liked that film so much, I went back and watched the George Romero films.
Your first step into the zombie world was?
Yeah, well, I wish I could say yes, but I'm sure I saw like Night of the Living Dead when I was a kid.
Right.
So, no, but that universe of zombie films, I guess.
Okay.
Is the right way to say it. So, I think that's all the topics we have.
Well, you wanted to talk a little bit about Hobbs and Shaw, right?
Oh, right. Dude, what is that film going to be?
I don't know, but I cannot wait for that movie. That movie cannot come out fast enough for me.
Fast and Furious enough for you?
Yeah, all that. I love those characters. Their interaction in the last movie was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Jason Statham fan. And, I mean, who doesn't love The Rock, right? So,
yeah,
I can't wait for this movie. I hope it's crazy, fun. I'm already online for it.
Yeah. It's so funny because it does look like it's going to be a rip-roaring kind of movie.
Yep.
Did you see any of the behind-the-scenes, photos of, it looks like they're in Samoa, to be honest with you. Because I noticed in the background it said something like Samoa, blah, blah, blah. It's like a billboard or whatever. Right. But you've got The Rock, you've got Roman Reigns, and you've got a whole posse of big tattooed Samoans going crazy with their shirts off and fighting people.
That sounds right up your alley.
Yeah, sweaty Samoan man. it looks like an awesome time. And then on top of all of that, it was also announced that Dwayne The Rock Johnson would not be rejoining the cast of the Fast and Furious 9, I guess. So, no surprises there, considering the beef that happened, I guess, during the filming of 8.
Yeah, plus, I mean, who knows? He's got his own thing now, so Hobbs and Shaw could be even bigger.
Bigger
than
yeah.
that whole franchise, which I'm hoping it is. So
yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, the dude is literally the busiest. The Rock is the busiest man in Hollywood. Like, I'm convinced his Black Adam, his DC Black Adam film, will never see the light of day because he's just so damn busy.
Yeah, like it's possible.
He did Jungle Cruise. He jumped right into this film. He signed up for something else. I forgot. I also heard that that Moana will have a sequel.
Right.
So you know he's going to be a part of that. Damn, dude is busy.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to Shaw. Okay. Yeah. So it looks pretty cool.
Okay. So now we can get into some questions.
Yep.
Ron Diesel. He said, with the rumors surrounding the new X-Men movie about it not being good, do we think that we shouldn't expect too much from the franchise? While we have seen what Marvel and DC can do, the Fox franchise is pretty much the same with exceptions to Deadpool. So, yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it. I don't know if it was last week or the week before how, you know, we're hearing like X-Men Apocalypse comparisons to the early screenings of Dark Phoenix. Mm. I mean, at this point, when he says, you know, should we not expect too much from the franchise? I think the answer is yes, because it's not even a franchise anymore at this point.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is the end, essentially, for this Fox X-Men universe, we think. And, you know, so that's how I'm looking at it. So I really don't even care, to be honest with you, whether Dark Phoenix is good, bad, otherwise. I mean, sure, I'd like it to be good because I like a lot of the cast and I'd like to see them get that storyline right. But if it's bad, I'll skip it and then we move on and see what Marvel does with these characters, yeah. You know?
I'm not holding my breath for it at all. I was so put off by Apocalypse. And actually I'm quite the opposite. I'm not really a fan of most of the cast with the exception of Fassbender and McAvoy.
Well, that's kind of what I meant anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone else is kind of like meh, sure. Evan Peters was okay as Quicksilver. I thought he was interesting and fun character to see in Days of Future Past, but then, you know, he just kind of became a cliche of himself. So
yeah, I mean, and I like Sophie Turner. I just don't think that they've developed that her version of this character enough to where I should care about her becoming the Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, and you can't just like write off of is it Famke Janssen?
Yeah, Famke Janssen.
Famke.
Yeah, Famke Janssen.
Yeah. can't just ride off of her coattails. You gotta, like, earn your keep, girl. Gotta become, like, you know, the legit Jean Grey here.
Yeah, not that her Dark Phoenix was anything to write home about.
Definitely not. But I actually bumped into her in the street.
Who? Famke Janssen or
yeah,
Janssen or
in Soho.
Okay.
While she was walking her dog. And, like, total side note, my sister-in-law's douchey ex-boyfriend, like, got down on his, he was like, oh, look at the puppy. And I'm just like, dude, stand up and get out of the way. This is an actress. Like, leave her dog alone. He was like, oh, I thought she looked familiar. And I was like, yeah, you just, no, just don't get on your hands and knees. And, like, he, like, jumped in front of her while she was walking her dog. Mm. First of all, she's tall as hell, too.
Yes.
Like, really, really tall. I'm a tall dude, and I think she's taller than I was. But stunning. She looked great.
Let's talk more about your sister-in-law's boyfriend for a second. Can you do me a favor? I'd like you to do an entire episode in his voice, the voice that you just gave him now. Whatever that voice was.
The douchey boyfriend, yeah. He's like, hey, what's going on? Yeah.
That's amazing.
Dude, ass. And you met my sister-in-law, so.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that dude was a winner. Cool. All right. Yeah, that's all I have to say about the X-Men thing.
We'll resume this conversation next time, next week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. Ooh. I don't really care for it, man. The same can be said. We did talk about this. The same can be said about New Mutants. I'm kind of like, meh. All right. It's been, like, missing for, like, 2 years. So that whole, it sounded like what they had going on was really interesting. I just don't know at this point if it's even going to matter. So,
yeah, that's kind of the way I feel about it.
Yeah.
So we got Katie from
Boban.
Yeah. She said, well, she wants to know, with the Batwoman pilot shooting in March, do we think the CW greenlights, if the CW greenlights it, which I can't imagine they won't, but we'll see a full premiere like the other Arrowverse shows, or will it start in January like Black Lightning and Legends of Tomorrow did? So I guess it depends, right? Because who knows what that slate is going to look like, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is anything going to get canceled? Will everything get renewed? You know, if everything comes back, then yeah, make it a January thing. Don't release it all. There's only so many days. There's only so many hours.
Right.
And I mean, you just can't oversaturate yourself like that. I'm already kind of, I'm overwhelmed by.
Are you up to speed?
I am the opposite of up to speed.
Yeah.
I've completely lost my steam for pretty much all of those shows. It's just too much. And yeah. I would love to watch the Batwoman show, and I will, because I like that character a lot, and it's just going to be different. So I'm kind of hoping that they let it stand on its own, unless something gets canceled and it can replace it. That's the only way I'd release it in the fall.
All right. You didn't watch the crossover event?
I did watch that.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that?
Yeah. I don't know that we... No, you talked about the Fanboy podcast.
Ah, right, right. Yeah. So Batwoman was amazing in that. And I'd love to see her own series. But I agree with you, man. It's getting a little much. I started watching Black Lightning, and then I was like, if one of these shows has to go, it's going to be you. And that was after Supergirl, because I'm done with that show. But I still do watch Legends of Tomorrow. I know our fellow RTF contributor, Adam Bassiano, was like, dude, you should totally get off that show. But I don't know. I still watch it.
Yeah, like, I enjoyed it. The last until this season, I was enjoying that show a lot, actually. I liked last season a lot because it just was its own thing. But I heard so many bad things about this season that I just haven't decided to jump into it.
Yeah. I mean, right now I'm behind. I tried to watch Arrow the other day and I kind of fell asleep. Had to remember where exactly we were and all of this stuff. So, I don't know. Like, I felt like Arrow started off really strong, and part of why I fell asleep is because they're doing some weird, like, sister of Oliver Queen is also a Green Arrow, which just lends itself to a whole bunch of issues for me. But I'll stick with it, watch it, see how it all shakes out. I'm really digging the Flash, though. And the Flash has turned a corner, in my opinion, because they brought back Reverse Flash.
Okay.
So, you should check that out.
I might.
Yeah. Cool.
So, JRB, he said he wants us to fan cast the MCU Fantastic Four plus Doctor Doom.
Hmm.
So, I'm just, admittedly, I'm not good with this stuff.
Yeah, neither am I.
I'm like the worst at this. Like in the moment, I might be like, "Oh, hey, that person would be a good, you know, whatever." But when I have to sit here and think about it, I'm pretty bad at it.
Yeah,
because it's like, what do you go by? Do you go by appearance? Do you go by like ability? A little bit of both. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do know that I would prefer my Reed Richards to be a little older.
Yeah.
Than he was in the previous movies. For whatever that's worth.
Dude, how funny would it be if they got someone like Hugh Jackman to be Reed Richards?
That would be wild. That would be wild.
Do you think that could work?
Sure, why not? I think it could
work.
Yeah, I mean, I think you might. Yeah, I definitely think it could. You might run into some trouble with people who are like, well, if you're going to have him in the MCU, why not keep him as Wolverine? But
yeah.
I don't think that's a terrible choice.
The harder one. So Zac Efron would be a great Human Torch.
Here
I think.
We go with the Zac Efron again.
Oh man, sorry, I couldn't pass it up.
Yeah, great. Yeah, perfect.
Oh man, awesome. I'm sorry. No, I actually. All jokes aside, I think he might be great.
Yeah.
Sue Storm. What do you think?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I'd have to. I mean, because first of all, I'm trying to think of who isn't already in the MCU. Like, what actresses are not already playing something? I mean, Brie Larson's there already, and Elizabeth Olsen's there already, and Scarlett Johansson's there already, and
there's so many other actresses.
You know, who isn't in the DCEU already? You know, like there's so that's hard.
I see. I'd say that Margot Robbie could have been good as a Sue Storm.
Well, that's but that's what I mean. So like, that's obviously off the table. I don't know. That's one that, like I said, I'm not really good with that stuff.
Yeah. Okay, the Thing.
See, to me, the Thing could almost be anybody.
That should be an easy character, right?
I mean, it could almost be anybody. I mean, yeah, you need someone who has the physical presence, you know,
because they could do a stop motion.
Well, no, I don't mean once. What the hell? I don't mean once they are the Thing.
Mocap.
I don't want a man in a suit, but I mean, I'm saying when he's still Ben Grimm, like, you know, beforehand, you want somebody that can kind of look the part. But I think that could really be anybody. Like.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't really know.
Because I mean, look at what they were able to do with the Hulk, right? Like with Ruffalo's Hulk.
Yeah.
Where it looks, you know, it's you can see Ruffalo's face in the Hulk.
Yeah, although I don't necessarily know that I'd want that for the Thing, just because the characters are, the nature of that character is different. Like, the Hulk is still essentially an oversized man that turns green,
mm-hmm.
whereas the Thing is a rock. A
bunch
person,
of rocks.
But yeah.
Freaking Pebble Man.
But yeah, like, I would say the same thing for Doctor Doom. Like, for Doctor Doom and the Thing, I would almost focus more on, like, going with a really good voice actor.
Yeah.
You know, and then just, you know, figuring out, you know, your way around the part where they're still just a man.
Yeah.
And then focus on just making it like a really good voice actor, you know, like an Andy Serkis type or something like that. That
you know who I had pegged for? So Thing, and this will never happen, but John Bernthal.
Thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Richard Armitage for Doctor Doom.
Okay.
It's the voice, man. Like, listening to Wolverine, the Long Good Night, and or Long Night, rather. And the dude's voice is awesome. I think it'd be great if you muffle that up a bit. Make it sound like he's in a mask. He's got a good voice. Anyways.
All right.
No, there was a second part to that, to his question, right?
Yes. Will we see the Knights of Ren in episode 9?
Hell yeah.
We have to, right? I mean,
hell yeah.
How could you not?
That's the thing. I mean, that, to me, if there was anything that disappointed me, and I say that lightly, like super light, about The Last Jedi, was that we didn't get to see the Knights of Ren, but that was quickly, you know, kind of fixed with the Praetorian Guards. Kind of dug all of that. So, yeah, I think we're gonna get some of that. Because it's only the way that things ended in The Last Jedi, with, like, you know, this hope emerging, and obviously it sounds like we might get a little bit more on the, you know, the Jedi teachings, and you know, potentially Rey having some sort of, and I'm speculating here, but, you know, it'd be nice to see her have some sort of start of a temple or her own thing going. And I'd assume then that Kylo Ren would have his own as well, kind of call his old guard. But I'd love to see the Knights of Ren for
sure.
Yeah,
I would. That would be a colossal disappointment for me if we didn't see that. I think you have to.
So, yeah, because then what's the point?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't say anything about Sith lords or anything like that in the original trilogy, so
right.
It's not like you were teased it and then you didn't get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, maybe the idea of the Jedi could have been something that people were disappointed in, but I doubt that.
We were teased with the idea of Anakin Skywalker in the prequel trilogy. We never got him, so
right. It's true.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
So yeah. So let's get out of here.
Anything? No. Okay. So we're done.
Yep.
Let's do some plugs.
Done. All right. So
close the door.
Yeah, you can go to thefanboygarage.com and listen to our past episodes, the current episode, buy some merch. We've got some T-shirts and fun stuff up there. Help support the show. Shop the Amazon Associates link on there. Also helps us out a little bit. You can send us an email through that website as well. If you're not on Twitter or other social media, you can send us an email directly through the website. And of course, as always, we'd like for you to join in the conversation. And you can do that by tweeting the show at the Fanboy Garage on Twitter. And individually, you can find me at RealCLMighty.
And you can find me at Starving Sith on Twitter as well. Don't forget to like our pictures, and you can also get in touch with us via our Instagram page, which is The Fanboy Garage at Instagram. Be sure to stay tuned for lots of fun and exciting bits of content, interviews, things like that, that we'll have in future shows. We'll also have a couple of guests from other podcasts joining to talk a whole bunch of stuff. So more to come on that front, but we're really excited to share some of that stuff with you guys.
Yeah. So that's it for this episode. I guess we will talk to you next time.
See you next week, guys.